everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Yes, this is Zach.
And Stuart. You yes. might be thinking, who is this Stuart man?
He is a new member of the back row.
Hey.
And one of my best friends in the world.
Hoorah. So just a little bit about me, so everybody knows. I am, again, Zach's best friend. And I am a big gamer. I enjoy quite a few games, mainly card games and RPGs. Also, I am the resident weeb. Well, I wouldn't say weeb.
Yeah, you're kind of a weeb.
One body pillow, okay. Right?
Yeah, one body pillow. That's okay. The limit. Yeah.
But I also enjoy movies and media, so I'm happy to join you here, Zach.
Good. Okay, so...
So you might be wondering, Stuart, why are you dressed up in a hospital robe and wearing some bandages? Well, our topic is...
Lucy. Or using 100% of your brain.
All right, so let's address the elephant in the room, okay?
Okay.
10% of your brain.
Yes.
Do you use 10% of your brain?
At certain points.
I actually had to look this up because, one, I was worried of misquoting things on a podcast.
Sure.
And having people be like, oh, you're dumb, Stuart.
Yeah, people do like sending in emails.
Yeah, so I had to look this up, and we actually do use 100% of our brain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just not all at once.
Not all at once, and there's a lot of gray matter in your brain just to protect it from...
Concussions.
Yeah, or rocks falling on your head.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, putting that disbelief behind you... I actually really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I did too. I guess first let me go through some brief information about the movie.
Also, spoilers.
Spoilers.
I would recommend you actually watch this movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
If you want to, I would recommend watching this movie and then maybe coming back and listening to this cast just to sort of see if you have the same notes that we do. Or whatnot, but
do it quick because we're waiting on you.
Well, I'm just going to take a little sip right here.
So yeah, the movie itself came out in 2014, $40 million budget, $463.4 million box office. That's quite a take.
Yeah.
I mean, usually the filmmaker gets back about 20% of what they put in.
Yeah, and they did have some big names connected to.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson probably had a really, really big price tag that came with her, considering that she's part of the Avengers.
Yeah,
Freeman.
Morgan Freeman probably has a big price tag on himself.
Yeah.
Just that soothing voice. That'll put me to sleep all day long.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the... the Rotten Tomatoes also is 67%. I don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes. I don't like it.
I don't really agree with it as well. It's not like... I don't think this was 100%, but I definitely think that it was probably around 80, maybe high 80s for me, personally.
Yeah, I would say that too. And I mean, I've read several articles making the claim that female-led movies tend to trend downwards on Rotten Tomatoes. The cinema score, which I would actually trust more in general, because they actually interview people coming out of a theater and say, give us a letter grade of the film you just watched, and then they average them all together and put out their stuff. Lucy got a C+. I think I was telling you off mic, I can kind of see that if you went into it expecting what it was marketed as.
Yeah, and it was marketed as an action movie.
Yeah.
When there wasn't much action to it.
No, yeah, like, there's really not a whole lot of bang-bang, shooty, explodey bits. Like, there's some...
Yeah, there are. There, I mean, you got your blood and your guts there, but it's not that. It's more, I would like to think... visually stunning. There were a lot of interesting parts.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much kind of gore and just crucified
like body horror.
Yeah. That was definitely a surprise for me.
There's parts where she's like, when she begins to lose her humanity, where she's just like in the plane and she's kind of disintegrating.
Yeah, with the whole face drooping and she's in the restroom and that took me by surprise, and it was a nice surprise.
Because
when Zach approached me and gave me this topic, I had no idea about this movie. This movie went under my radar.
Oh, really?
I wasn't sure if it was based off of anything, so I kind of went blind, and I really enjoyed it.
Good.
My question to you is, are you ready to commit yourself to the Church of Lucy?
That's another thing that happened that's interesting.
It was very interesting. I didn't expect that.
I didn't either.
I like the tie back to the very beginning.
Yeah.
Would you want to just go chronologically, or should we just talk about...
We can just talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I like the tie back of, like, the first ape was named Lucy, and then she goes back in time, and she ETs it with him, and I assume she was spreading some of her cells, which was a big theme of, like, cells having information, and then just transferring that information to the next generation, to the next generation.
Yeah. Which at first it kind of threw me off because, again, I was expecting an action movie. Whenever they would splice in, like, the National Geographic footage of animals,
I was like,
what the hell are they doing? And then the third or fourth time, I was like, okay, this is, I like it.
I enjoyed it. Like, the first time they spliced it, I didn't think that it broke any sort of time. I don't think it jarred me in any sort of way. I enjoyed that. I was like
in the first 10 minutes,
like
with the leopard gazelle, whatever it is.
It was really nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and I thought that was a really good decision on the filmmaker's part.
Oh yeah. Now the an interesting thing that I noticed, not really while watching it, but like I just kept thinking about this movie after I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the podcasts I listen to is Harmontown.
Okay.
And Dan Harmon is a big, like, Joseph Campbell type screenwriter. And he has a thing, a kind of cheat sheet story circle when he's writing.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically draw a circle and you split it into quadrants.
Okay.
Across the top, you have good. Across the bottom, you have bad. Across the right side, you have dishonest. Across the left side, you have honest.
Okay.
So your character starts off at the 12 o'clock position, right?
Yeah.
And I would map this to good, dishonest, as Lucy is the... Was she actually a college student, or was she a prostitute?
Because she was a college student. I think she was a college student.
Because, like, her roommate mentioned a trick.
Her roommate was saying that she was doing acting. She went and she did auditions. Maybe there was a little bit of auditioning.
That couch. Okay. Well, fair enough.
I could imagine that. Yeah.
Well, fair enough. Yeah.
But I believe they were both in college because at the beginning it could have been an excuse.
Yeah.
She was trying to say, "Hey, I've got to study for these classes." The guy who died really quickly. I forget his name.
I don't even know his name.
Random Joe. Random Joe got shot.
Randy. I think his name was Randy.
It could have been.
It's her as college girl, you know, if she is actually a prostitute and that was just an excuse to go away.
Maybe.
You know, I would call that good design. Like, no one's really being hurt in that equation, but no one's being entirely honest either. Yeah. The bad dishonest would be her being forced to be a handler or a mule, you know, with the...
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this. Like, I pulled up the script for this movie.
Yeah.
Do you know the British guy who's walking around?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what his name is in the script?
No.
The Limey.
The Limey.
I find it really weird that they would just use kind of, not a racial slur, but like, and that's not something you would say to someone's face as his name.
You know actually why they're called Limeys?
Yeah, because the lines on the ship.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. I just recently found that out, that, yeah, they had to eat a lot of limes to fight off scurvy.
Yeah, scurvy, during the shipping days.
And there's your first fact for the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, you're actually bringing truth and honesty.
Well, I guess second fact, because we took away the myth of you use 10%. I'm sure there's some people out there who use 10%, but...
Anyway, back to the story circle. So yeah, bad dishonest would be, you know, her being manipulated into being this drug mule, mm-hmm. and yada, yada, yada. Bad honest, I had some trouble kind of identifying, but I think I would say Lucy losing her humanity.
Yeah, I feel like when she got the drug and she started using more of her brain, she lost her humanity. And yeah. it's very, you can sort of see it in the hospital scene.
Yeah.
Where she's pretty much just walking around with a gun out. Yeah. And she just gets
social
no
cues. Bucks. Yeah, she gives 0 bucks.
And the way that she kills the man on the operating table.
Yeah.
Basically stating, hey, you
can't change him. You can't save him.
And then when she keeps around the French detective, just to sort of remind her of her own humanity.
Which, let me interject in here. So Luc Besson also directed Fifth Element. Have you seen Fifth Element?
Yes, I have. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
It might be a...
Yeah, it might be a future topic. But so when she, like, kisses him and says, I need you...
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I was kind of groaning at that moment because my prediction for where the movie would have gone then would be like he redeems her in some way because like he makes it not happen. I'm like, okay, well that's just dumb. That doesn't happen at all because this movie is actually really well written.
Yeah,
she was appealing to him to make him stay with her. There was no need for him.
And I actually thought that maybe she needed him to like have a kid. Yeah. So they could pass on that gene. But again, neither of those happened. Yeah.
No, she was appealing to him because she, I think at that point, realized that she has very little connection to the rest of humanity.
She became self-aware. I mean, she understood the actions and she understood like what action she needed to take.
Yeah. And the last quadrant that I identified as good honest would be Lucy as God.
Yeah, I mean...
Because, I mean,
she's basically God now. I mean, she came to the past to give humanity. Yeah. She transferred her cells... Yeah, she traveled through time, transferred her cells to Lucy, the ape, and disappeared, and now she's everywhere.
Which I thought was really cool, is that I am everywhere. Yeah.
So, you know that guy's not going to be having some private time with himself
because
she can see it all. Yeah.
But would she care? I mean, she's not really connected to humanity.
I don't know.
She's just kind of dissolved into the ether.
And I kind of, it makes you think. It's a god that doesn't care about humanity or its creation, which is interesting. Like, you know, you think of, like, the biblical God, and the biblical God does intervene. It sends, like, angels, it blesses people, it talks to certain people through bushes. This is a God that, like, just doesn't care about humanity, which is an interesting thought. And, again, you know, I didn't go into this movie thinking that I was going to have all of these different thoughts afterwards, which really surprised me and which really bumps the movie up. I feel like if a movie, you know, you go into movies with certain thoughts, like I'm going to go and see Pacific Rim, not for its riveting story. I want to see giant mechs punch giant monsters. Yeah. So I wasn't really sure, again, what I was expecting from this movie, and I was pleasantly surprised. That's why it gets a higher value for me, just because I do like movies that make you think.
Yeah, no, I if I were to rate this movie, I would definitely give it high B, low A. It's not perfect.
It's
but
not.
But, like, very few movies are, so...
Yeah, I feel like Morgan Freeman's character was underused. I feel like it was kind of there to push around the plot and to...
Oh, his lines were 100% exposition.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, I could see her contacting him if she, like, has this access to this neural web of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But towards the end, right when all the body horror stuff starts happening with the, like, Tetsuo type bullshit.
I didn't think of Tetsuo, but yes, that is a perfect analogy.
It looks like a black seething mass of Tetsuo creeping around, and...
Oh, man.
And that one scientist goes, "What's going on?" And he goes, "She's looking for a power source." His reaction should have been, "I don't fucking know.
I see this door here. I think I'm going to leave."
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. Like, how would he know she's looking for... I mean, I guess he's a scientist, and he can assume that she's looking for a power source. But why wouldn't the other scientists just assume that? I feel like that was just a line for the dumb-dumbs.
Yeah. But I also really enjoyed her sort of her analogy of time with the car, how it drives, and if you speed it up so fast, the car disappears.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Well, I also liked when she was during that same instance where she was, or maybe it was the instance with all of the scientists where she's being interviewed, and she messes with her DNA, and she grows a second hand out of the back of her hand, and she's explaining these high quantum physics things, and that's awesome.
I think that's when Morgan Freeman's character shines.
Sure.
It's at the beginning of the story where it's here's a bunch of exposition, like you were saying. What would happen if we could use 20% of our brain? Well, we could flip on the ceiling and do sick dive kicks.
I know a lot of it is Luc Besson kind of doing this sci-fi, you've hit the next level, so to speak, and you get these new powers. But
here's your perks.
Yeah, here's your perks. What do you want to put your points into? But, during the talk that Morgan Freeman was giving to the students where he's like, well, at 20% matter, we could... Or 20% usage, we could affect other people's... And it's how do you know that? Why? What makes you think that you would be able to affect other people's actions? And at that point,
Again, I'm suspending my disbelief because I'm enjoying this movie. Ooh. And, you don't have to explain the mechanics to me.
Yeah.
It's not hard mechanics, it's soft mechanics.
Yeah.
Again, something that we'll probably get into in a role-playing topic.
Those kind of terms, yeah.
So the villain, what do you think of, I forget his name.
Mr. Gong?
Yeah. What do you think of him as the antagonist?
I think he's ultimately forgettable.
Really?
I didn't like him. Like, that whole shootout at the end seemed an excuse to,
It did.
To, artificially create a timer that she had to go up against when she's giving the rest of humanity its blueprint to the stars, so to speak. It felt contrived, and if it were me, and I had, ultimate script stuff, I would be okay, when she goes back to him to get information, that's it. Because why would you continue to fuck with someone?
Yeah.
There's powers. just call it even Stevens and just leave her alone.
Well,
that's
the thing is, you see that this person has gained these powers. I'm not sure if you're making the connection, but they have a plant that makes this chemical. It's the greatest drug to overdose on. Because you could have millions of gods.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really cool idea.
It's insane. It's strange. I did enjoy his acting at the very beginning. There was that tension.
Oh yeah,
during the scene in the hotel.
Yeah,
and it was a tension that I enjoyed, and it really worked with his character. Yeah, as the movie progressed, he seemed more as a plot crutch than anything else. Of like, here's a time limit. I'm trying to kill her. Blah blah blah. Instead of where you're thinking, oh, if this drug is giving her superpowers, maybe we should test about more about this drug.
I mean, that's not to take away from his performance.
No, because his performance was fantastic.
Yeah, like, I forget his name, but he,
his mannerisms were really cool. Like, when he was washing off the blood from his hand with, like, bottling sparkling water.
Yeah.
There
was definitely like that sense of tension, like you said, in his his introduction. I did think it was funny when they were making her open the case.
Yeah.
The guys who come in with the black shields and he, like, walks around the corner.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. I forget the guy's name, but I recognized him from Old Boy. Old Boy. The protagonist in that movie.
Oh wow.
That's
a movie I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah. You know, he's actually vegetarian, so when he forced down that octopus, like...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, he is strictly vegetarian. Huh. And he only did it for the role and apparently vomited afterwards because he's like, I can't.
Man, I could not be vegetarian.
Because that octopus was alive.
There's another Stuart fact for you. Stuart loves his meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But back to Lucy. Another interesting body horror that really got me, and I don't know if it really got you, was
like got you, like made you pause and stop the movie. Or...
No, just like made me feel bad about myself.
Yeah,
like I was looking at the junkie, just the junkie at the very beginning movie. And where they were testing the drugs on him.
Yeah,
just looking at him, just.
The track marks.
And just the teeth that were...
The fucked up teeth.
And just his mannerisms. It really, like, hit me hard. Like,
yeah,
drugs will fuck you up.
Yeah, it's a very visceral scene. Like, that junkie is very well cast. I don't know how they did the makeup on him.
Yeah.
He looks like someone who has been used basically as a...
A test.
A drug litmus test.
Yeah. And just the mannerisms. And, I mean, I don't need to see any sort of, like, videos about not using drug. Show me that guy. I'm not going to use drugs after seeing, like, the shit that guy's gone through.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it made me feel dirty. And it's interesting when a movie does that to you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people think that art's there just to make you feel something or feel good. And, like, art can also make you feel annoyed or bad or dirty in certain ways.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that this movie touched on all sorts of different assets.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I could definitely see... I was reading some reviews, and some of the common through lines that the reviewers had was... They would either compare it to Akira, which, like, I would say it's less Akira, more like Tetsuo, like the Bullet Man, like those type movies.
Yeah.
I get what they're referencing. And then 2001, which I think was... Well, the scene where she's ascending at the end with all the colors and,
of
like,
course,
her,
yeah,
like,
but...
It kind of is similar, but it's not quite. And then The Matrix was another one, which I don't really get that one.
I don't know. Maybe with the phones. Man, just think how annoying that would be if you saw everyone's, like, phone conversation.
Yeah.
Like, how many people use their phones? I would go out in the middle of the woods just to get some, like, silence.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
I assume that she was using part of her newfound abilities to sort of silence those things.
Yeah, I would assume she'd have to.
Yeah.
And another one was Limitless. I don't know if you ever saw that.
It's
the
Bradley
Cooper one where he takes a drug that lets him use 100% of his brain.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. I never saw it, but it was the same sort of deal where, again,
yeah.
it stated that we only use 10% of your brain. If you can't see, just I'm using...
Not true. Yeah, he's using air quotes
air with quotes.
His fingers.
This is
not a visual podcast.
They would see my fantastic clothes.
Your hospital gown.
Yeah.
Your IV. Your blue IV.
That was another interesting thing.
They're like, here's this illegal drug. I need you guys to cook it down and then just pump me full of it.
Yeah. And it was an interesting line where she was like, oh, my cells are going to resist this.
Yeah.
Because it came back to the whole thing where, like, if it's not a suitable habitat, then you're going to try to, you know, become invincible, become eternal, basically.
Sure.
Yeah. And her body was basically becoming a minefield. Now, here's a question.
Sure.
So the drug was used from baby fetuses, basically. Dead baby fetuses.
Well, they said it was synthesized.
Synthesized.
So,
yeah.
So it's a chemical that babies produce.
It was supposed to mimic that.
Yeah.
Do you think it only works for women? Like if either you or me try pumping that up. Because we don't have the same chemical balance as a woman.
Sure.
And this is just a theory. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer.
I don't think
there's really a right or wrong answer.
No. I don't think there would be. I don't think it would work the same for guys, because, like, granted, the junkie in the beginning just had a little bit of it, but he was just, like, reduced to laughter and whatever trip he was having.
Yeah.
His body wasn't being overdosed with it.
Yeah, pumped full with it. But
I don't know, that's a good question.
Yeah. It was something that made me thought. I personally, I believe that, yes, it's probably only affects women. Like,
sure.
I don't think that if a man did the same amount that Lucy did, that would do the same effect. And again, I have no evidence or proof of this. It's just personal.
A gut level.
Yeah, yeah. Personal sort of thing. Because when they took the bag out of her, it wasn't like that much had gone into her system.
Right.
So, again, I think that it was probably some sort of combination of, you know, women's estrogen or chemical balance.
Sure.
That probably played a part in that. Which is interesting, because it's a statement that maybe God's a woman? Or if you're trying to put a gender on certain things.
Sure. Yeah, I think it towards
also,
the end, though, like, with her losing her humanity, I think her sex doesn't
effect.
Really affect, like, she's no longer recognizably human at a certain level.
True.
Because it's like she's so far beyond in terms of evolution that,
yeah,
I don't know, like at a certain point she just stops being human.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you ascended. Yeah,
yeah,
it's, you know, the, like, God ascending to a higher plane and certain things like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just surprised at how well this fit the story. Sir, I mean, I know I'm making assumptions and jamming them in there, but, like, I was impressed with how well it fit this idea of mythology that Dan Harmon, like, proselytized in terms of writing. I thought it was really well written, barring a few quibbles that I've mentioned, like with the bad guy coming back just to create a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
There
are a couple lines that are just kind of,
yeah,
don't feel like they're natural to the settings.
Sure.
But again, it's a very interesting theme of being godlike.
Yeah.
And then at the very ending, do you think, how powerful was that flash drive that she
gave? I don't know, but it was a moving field of stars. They just ended in a USB thing. Like, so, but she said that she made it so that it could always be accessed. So, like,
yeah,
to me, that begs the question, okay, since it's made out of her, is she, whenever we move on to, because, you know, a year or so after this movie came out, the next thing is USB-C. Lightning, right? Yeah. It's much faster rate of transfer.
Yeah.
And so does that mean that she's just going to come back and be like, oh, let me reform this.
Yeah. Let me update this. No, I wish that you would put the information on the internet. Like, just put it out there on servers.
Yeah.
Mainly because, yeah, like a flash drive, no matter how fast or powerful it is, if we plug it into one of our computers and they don't have the capacity, they'll just kind of...
They'll just catch fire, yeah, or stop, or just not be able to read it. Like,
yeah, but then again, I guess Lucy could always come down and give us like a text being like, hey, Stuart, I saw that you kicked that puppy. Probably shouldn't do that. Again, I don't kick puppies, so I just don't want to throw that out. I don't want people to be like, unsubscribe because Stuart kicks puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's interesting to have, because then you have a god that can intervene. Like, you know, instead of having angels or miracles or things like that, you get a text being like,
yeah.
Wouldn't that be so weird?
I feel like with her saying I am everywhere, yeah, like that she's ascended to a point that it's like letting them know, like, that's what happens with energy or life force or whatever. When you like, it just gets dispersed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that she's even centralized anymore, other than to be like,
I don't think so, yeah. But I do feel like she can affect certain things. Like, sure, she can still affect...
the flash drive. She's got to make it a USB-C.
Yeah. And, you know, she can still affect electrical waves and things along those lines.
Sure.
When you go back to the movie, when she was talking to Morgan Freeman's character, you know, through the TV and through his laptop and through his phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a weird concept. A concept that I was thinking about, like, what happens if God could just reach you on your phone? Just be like, hey, I see that you haven't gone to church in a while.
Wouldn't it be nice to come to church?
Yeah. It's just a weird concept that I don't think the movie intended for people to think. Or maybe it did. I don't know. But it's just an interesting concept to think about. Yeah. And, I, again, enjoyed the movie because of those kind of concepts.
Yeah, I did as well. Like I said, I would give it high B.
Yeah, A. Definitely recommend you go and watch it. I know that we covered a couple of spoilers and stuff like that. Yeah. So hopefully you did go and watch the movie before you listened to this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can agree with certain things. And, you know, our opinions aren't the end all the be all. This is just...
Yes, they are.
This is just two guys on the couch talking about certain topics.
Oh, yeah.
But, again, you can always reach us at
backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Did you want to continue with any other?
Oh, yeah. So, we have a Patreon now. So it's patreon.com/backrowsupershow. The email address is up there. We're under Backrow Super Show on iTunes and on Facebook. We're going to, I guess, be doing some work to the website because it's not the greatest, but I still need that feed.
Yeah.
And, just shoot us emails. I think next time we'll be talking about Hearthstone!
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely in my house of wheels.
Okay.
Again, I'm going to be joining Zach. I am Stuart. I guess we'll have a couple of certain media outlets, maybe a Twitter or something like that.
Sure.
So you can, you know, keep up and things along those lines.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying talking with you, and I definitely want to continue with you on this journey.
Yeah,
you can't see it, but
we're patting each other on the back.
Yeah.
But I'll use my personal Instagram because I don't really use it for anything other than posting books that I'm reading to post episodes when they come out.
Yeah.
I'll put that information on the Facebook.
I also have a Twitter account. I believe it's Stubbly Stew.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
Stubbly?
Yes. Stubbly Stew. Feel free to follow me. I will definitely post updates. I know that occasionally you stream.
Yes, as Eggplant Taco on Twitch.
Yeah, I also occasionally stream. Again, it's Stubbly Stew. I've just got the stubble and my name's Stuart, so there you go. You put two and two together.
Also, odd things tend to happen.
Yeah.
If you have adventures.
Yeah, well, yeah, and alliteration, Stubbly Stew. It's a good alliteration.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just a final little thing, a little bit about me. I went to college with Zach.
Yes.
So that's how we met, and we've been friends ever since. We do both enjoy playing board games and RPGs, video games as well.
Maybe we can start twitching board games.
Ooh.
That would be fun.
Is that
You can do?
I've seen that. I mean, again, it's a lot of equipment that you have
to that's true.
Deal with. And
so
like
you
that.
Guys should give us Patreon money so we can buy cameras.
Shelling out.
I am.
Also, anything that we mention, we aren't sponsored. This is just personal things that we enjoy. Again, just full disclosure. I know that it's a thing now that you have to do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, a lot of people.
I mean,
a lot of people on Twitch and on YouTube, if they mention something,
really,
they have to give like some sort of full disclosure about like, oh, I am either sponsored by this or I have no ties to this. I just actually enjoy it. Things along those lines.
I mean, that seems obvious.
And sometimes it's not obvious. Because when, like, people are playing games, there's some people who, let's get on, well, not on the subject of Hearthstone, but lightly touching Hearthstone. Some people who play Hearthstone, they're not sponsored by Blizzard. They play it because they enjoy it.
Oh, I see. If you're sharing video content.
Yeah.
That's true.
And, you know, if people mention things. Like, you mentioned a podcast when we were talking about this.
We're not affiliated with them.
Yeah, no. Zach just enjoys watching them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting topic that people have gone into, especially with media nowadays.
Fair use is so dumb. Do you know how fair use works?
No.
I had to learn this in a legal class at one time.
No.
So if you're reviewing something, you can use that piece of media.
Okay.
You can represent, as long as that's what your express purpose is to do. You can't sell anything, obviously, without permission.
Yeah.
If you claim the fair use, if you get sued, to claim fair use, you have to plead guilty to violating IP.
Wow.
And then make the case that what you did was fair use. That's bullshit.
That is bullshit. Where you just have to be like, I'm guilty, but here's this loophole.
Here's this thing that you guys said that we could do this, and then it's just up to the whether or not the judge feels like
insane.
What you're doing is part of fair use.
Yeah. Well, two factoids on this. I know that Nintendo hates people streaming their stuff.
Yeah.
They fear that
Capcom as well.
They fear that if people stream their game, they lose sales of that game because people don't go out and buy the game; they just watch people stream. Which, you know, I can see on one hand, but I can see on the other. You know, one hand being if your story is a narrative based story, like the Telltale games. You get kind of spoiled and you don't want to play those. But if your game is sort of an action RPG or sort of like a first-person shooter, I can see where if people watch the game and go, oh, wow, that's cool. Because I can't tell you how many times I've gone on Twitch, watch somebody play a game, and be like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Let me go on Steam and download the game.
Yeah.
Then the second one, this is more of just a weird tidbit, but somebody was actually streaming a UFC fight, like a very popular UFC fight, but they had a controller in their hand.
Yeah.
So they were pretending that they were playing a game, but they were just streaming it.
Yep.
That is ingenious.
That's hilarious.
That is ingenious. Unfortunately, I believe that guy got banned because you're not supposed to, you know, broadcast any sort of national sort of thing. Yeah, but,
I mean...
And all the legal issues that you can get into, but props to that man. That's some high-level thinking. That's some Lucy thinking.
Okay, on that bombshell, I guess we will end, since we're just ripping off things, on that bombshell.
All right, guys. Hey, you have a good week.
All right.
Let's see in the sky.